We'll open up some scriptures. The title of this talk is New Jerusalem. So to Revelation chapter 21. So we'll read through this chapter 21 and then we'll tie in with some other scriptures. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. That's right, I forgot to mention, this chapter is full of symbolism. So we have to read this knowing that it's symbolic. It's not all a physical thing. So verse 2, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God, and wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I'll be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I'll show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a great wall and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, the 11th, the jacinth, the 12th, an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine on in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honour into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honour of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. So this is the New Jerusalem. So it says clearly that this New Jerusalem is a bride. It says it's a bride, the Lamb's wife. Okay, so it's all symbolic. Okay, it's not it describes here a cube. The length, breadth, and height of it are all the same, so it's really a shape like a cube, but it's symbolic, and it uses the measurements there of 12,000. Now, 12 represents government, perfect judgment, and so that it's got 12 all through there. It's got 12 foundations, got 12 gates, the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 pearls. So there's that perfect government, this city, this bride of Christ. That's what it is. That's what it just described there, the bride of Christ. And we can read elsewhere in the scriptures that the bride of Christ is the church, and which is the spirit-filled church is the bride of Christ. So we all make up this bride of Christ. And it says in verse 2, it says, coming down from God out of heaven, okay? So it comes out of God, from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So adorned. And we can read in the scriptures that we now have this cloak of righteousness. We have the spotless garments, wedding garments that we have on. We are adorned for our spiritual husband, which is Jesus Christ. And it says there, it comes from God out of heaven. Now, the only reason that we can be adorned beautifully for our husband is because we've got the Spirit. And that Spirit comes from God out of heaven. That is our cloak of righteousness. That makes us adorned appropriately for our husband being Jesus Christ as a church. And so if we read verse 3, it says, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. So just keep your finger there. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It's an aspect that's very hard to grasp. I'm sure there's many things in this chapter that I don't fully grasp either, but this whole New Jerusalem thing is a remarkable concept, and we are part of. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. So we are. The tabernacle of God is with men. We are now the temple of the living God because God dwells in us. In the Old Testament times, God dwelt in a temple made of bricks and mortar that was constructed initially by Solomon. But now he's chosen a people, a set of human beings to dwell within, to be a part of his kingdom, to be a part of his bride. Like the whole church is that spiritual bride. It's hard for us to comprehend, but when we think about it in spiritual terms, we are all a part of that spiritual bride of Christ because God dwells in us. And it says elsewhere in the chapter that there's no need, verse 22, and I saw no temple therein. There's no need for a physical temple because we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We, as part of the church, this new Jerusalem, we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Just read verse 6. And he said unto me, it is done. I like that. Every now and again it says in the scriptures, it is done. I mean, Jesus said it himself when he was on the cross. It is finished, right? It's finished. It's done. It's the way it is. I am an Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. So again, keep your finger there. Move to John chapter 4. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. John chapter 4 and verse 5. Then cometh he, being Jesus Christ, to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. for his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat or food. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And that's what it's referring to there in chapter 21 and verse 6. You know, that fountain of the water of life freely. Jesus here is not talking about that physical water where you drink that cup of water, you will thirst again. It's natural, we know that. But Jesus here is talking about this life-giving water, that if we drink of that life-giving water, we'll never thirst again. And that is the Holy Spirit. God is seeking those who are hungering and thirsting after righteousness, as it says back further in Matthew. Those that are hungering and thirsting. And so those that are thirsting after righteousness, wanting to know what life's all about, wanting to be right with God, that's who the Lord's looking for, so that then he can quench that thirst. He can give them this life-giving water. He can give them the Holy Spirit. So with that Holy Spirit, that's when we enter the rest. You know, it says in the scriptures, and I do like, took me years to comprehend what it meant, but now I love it. We labour to enter our rest. It's an effort to grab hold of our salvation and understand our salvation and be at rest. And being at rest, there's no more thirsting. There's no more wondering. There's no more, where's that life-giving water? I'm still thirsting after salvation. There's no more of that because we're right with God. We're perfect with God. We have that cloak of righteousness. We are part of the new Jerusalem. And so we're no longer thirsting. We have that in us is that well of water springing up into everlasting life. That thing that came from God out of heaven, it now wells up in us so that we can be a channel for the living God. And back to our Revelation 21, it says, I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely, him that is a part of that new Jerusalem. Just read verse 16. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, which is just a tape measure, really. 12,000 furlongs, the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. So, of course, we've got 12,000, and then the width of the wall is 144, which is 12 times 12. And this here, yes, they're pretty high walls, pretty long walls, pretty wide walls that surround the New Jerusalem. So that New Jerusalem has these walls, which has 12 all through it. It's that perfect judgment, so that within that are a people who have been judged righteous before God. Okay? The New Jerusalem, the bride of Christ, Spirit-filled people are within that city. There's judgment around it, perfect judgment, and they are righteous before God. They're being judged as being perfect. They've got that cloak of righteousness. There's Jesus Christ there justifying them before God himself. That's the symbolism of it. Just back to chapter 14. Keep your finger there. Revelation chapter 14. Just to enhance this symbolism of it. And also the head of the church is Jesus Christ. And so that's that perfect government. In this world, We cannot achieve perfect government. It's only through Jesus Christ that we have perfect government. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 1. And I looked, and lo, a lamb, obviously Jesus Christ, stood on the Mount Zion. Jerusalem is on Mount Zion. And with him, 144,000, 12 times 12,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. So that name written in their foreheads. What God represents is the way we think, the way we comprehend things. Our Father's name is written in our foreheads. Verse 2, and I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, many languages, and as the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. Sorry. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. That song of praise, that song of praise is can only be learnt by those that have the Spirit, you know, that Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of the waters. And so verse 6 there, we have this everlasting gospel. We have authority to tell others, to preach to others what it means to be saved. And there's no restriction. If they're a human being, they are worthy to be told. It says every nation, every kindred, every language and every people. They just need to be a human being. And in verse 4, I just want to point out, it says, these are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. Now, it's symbolic. Remember, it's symbolic. And elsewhere in Revelation, it refers to the world, other religions, as being a harlot. And so the people that are in this new Jerusalem that have God's name written in their foreheads, that have the Spirit in them, that have authority to preach the everlasting gospel, they are people that are not wooed by other gospels, wooed by other religions, wooed by other ways, other women, other spiritual women. So we're not defiled with women. We continue to follow the truth. You know, we're part of the bride of Christ. We are part of the bride that will be raised up to meet the Lord in the air within that new Jerusalem. If we can grasp this and understand what a remarkable place we're in, and let us not be defiled with other religions and other ideas, but be pure. Let our garments be not blemished. Back to Revelation 21. And we'll read verse 18. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, and it goes through those precious stones. And then verse 21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Again, symbolic. But those things that are listed there, the jasper, the gold, all those precious stones, the sapphire, the emerald, the jacinth, and then the gates themselves were pearls. They're all precious things. They're all things of great beauty. They are things of great value. So this city is made up of people that are precious to God. This city is made up of people that are beautiful before the Lord, of great value. The scriptures say that his children are the apple of his eye, that he is so proud of us because we continue to follow his ways. We are his dear children. We are all equal sons of God, heirs of the promise. And he sees great beauty in us, that purity that is so wonderful, and he sees great value. Just go back to Matthew chapter 13. We're done with Revelation chapter 21. So Matthew chapter 13. So God sees in us great value and great beauty. And he wants us to understand that we are part of something that is of great value and great beauty. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure. See, value, hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls or beautiful pearls, things that are rare, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. So we were wandering along on this earth, as Nina said in her testimony, she found this thing of great value, the Holy Spirit. And I was thinking when Nina was giving her testimony, I often wish that those that when they first received the Holy Spirit had the foresight to just go home and pray for an hour, and then they might get pretty well switched on with what it's all about and have that clarity of understanding like Nina did. So there was this great value, wandering along on earth and found this great treasure. And like in these two instances, sold everything that they had. Nina was focused on getting to meetings. No matter how annoying it was that first time, or how hard it was that first time with Jacob crying and so forth, and the torment that she felt as a mum, she still prayed about it, knew that this thing was of great value and great beauty, and continued to come to the meetings. And like all of us, we're like that. We latched hold of it. We latched hold of this thing. We sold everything. We gave our life to follow the things of God. That's what it means, selling everything. What does it matter, everything else? You know, I want to be a part of the kingdom of God. I am now perfect before God. He has granted me righteousness where it was not warranted, that grace. I want to be in this new Jerusalem within these secure walls of perfect judgment. Judgment is so important when it's done righteously. And there is great freedom when we're under or surrounded by perfect judgment. And we know that through the Spirit is life and freedom and joy. It's wonderful. And so there is this great treasure that we have within us. And the assembly is a great treasure. And as we grow in the Spirit, we see such beauty and great value. Revelation chapter 20. This aspect, Revelation 20 is an interesting chapter to read. Again, I don't fully get how it's all going to happen. But you have to read every element of it as if it was symbolic. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, or hell, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, had not defiled themselves with women, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And it says there in verse 4, and it says, I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. It's not literal, it's symbolic. We read before that on their foreheads is the name. And so in a way, we stop thinking for ourselves. We think how God wants us to think. We stop reverting back to the wisdom of the world, but we look at God's wisdom and we follow his ways. That's like we're being beheaded for the witness of Jesus. Because we know that God, he created everything we see. He created our flesh as well. He knows all the inner workings of everything. And we know he wants the best thing for us. So we trust him. We behead ourselves for him because he wants the best for us. So we are those people that have been beheaded for the witness of Jesus. And it says there that we will reign. Now, if we're part of the first resurrection, the second death hath no power. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. So let us all be a part of that first resurrection, where we can or we will rule and reign with Jesus Christ. We will be in the New Jerusalem, surrounded by perfect government, perfect judgment, and we will rule and reign with Jesus Christ, with a complete understanding of what's right and what's wrong. That is judgment, what's right and what's wrong. Matthew chapter 24. So we have that I've said it before, but I'll say it again. We are part of something pretty remarkable. Us mere human beings. That's why it's important to pray in the Spirit as much as you can, read the Scriptures, and build that picture of what we're truly a part of. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 42. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. That's being Jesus Christ for that spiritual wedding. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. We are his servants. We're about his business. We've got things to do. You know, we're following the Lord, his ways. Oh, I want to do it this way, but God tells me to do it that way. Okay, I'll chop my head off to it. I'll follow God's ways because they are better. And a great promise here as it's repeated. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. We'll sit on the throne with Jesus Christ. We'll be with him. Blessed are those who are a part of that first resurrection. Okay, last scripture, back to chapter 13 and verse 24. Matthew 13 and verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares or weeds among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So we can imagine this situation. And I'm sure people have been about weeding their own garden, and sometimes you might grab a weed, it's obvious it's a weed, but you accidentally pull up another little plant that should have stayed there with the roots. But also, I could just imagine, you know, it's hard work. Like, let's say people are there weeding away and it's a long day and you get toward the end and it's tired, the weeds look similar. Like, there's wheat grass that looks similar to a wheat and you're tired and you might actually accidentally pull up a wheat plant. And that's why the Lord here is saying, no, let them grow together, because I don't want one single person to be lost. I don't want one single person to be accidentally plucked up while you're weeding the garden, weeding the paddock. But leave them till the end when the reapers will go through and they will sort it out. They'll sort it out. They'll judge righteously which is a weed and which is not a weed. And then go down to verse 37. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burnt in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. But then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So we will shine forth as the sun. You know, it said back in Revelation 21 that there was no need for the sun or the moon. You know, and that the roads were like gold and like shine like glass. You know, that precious thing, that thing of great beauty shined. You know, we will shine. We'll shine, what's it say? Shine like the sun of the kingdom. You know, like we'll just be radiant and we'll be part of this this wonderful thing, part of the new Jerusalem, if we continue to walk in his ways. Seek after that is which is good and shun the wrong. And it's a wonderful thing to be a part of when you've got the Holy Spirit. You've been baptized by full immersion and you continue to walk in spirit and in truth. And so let us be determined. Let us be determined to follow his ways, to be undefiled, to have his name written in our foreheads, continually thinking spiritual things. When we're going about our ways, looking for opportunities to be a good testimony and waiting for that time for someone to ask about the hope that is in us, which is just so wonderful, so that then they can also have the scriptures expounded. We have authority. We have that righteous judgment at the forefront of our mind to judge what to tell people about the salvation. We are part of this new Jerusalem, this bride of Christ. Let us be a part of that wonderful marriage when Jesus returns. Okay, thank you. I'll hand over to Wayne, who's got the communion.